This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
This is the Leadership Forum.
Consider if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
And of course, we are continuing with the series Perspectives of Leadership. This, I believe, is session 9.
I've really lost the count. You know, when we started, I'd intended to do like three, four sessions.
Yes.
Then Grace said, aren't there more? Why don't we do 10?
Wow.
So I said, 10. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yes, there are many, many perspectives. So if this 9, then I'm left with one more.
Karibu sana, Bishop.
Asante sana.
Yes.
Yeah, good, good.
Okay, just go ahead.
With
the perspectives of leadership.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, today we want to talk about a concept that has, I think, is among the newest concepts and perspectives of leadership, how people view leadership and how people practice leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And those who have been with us from the beginning, we said the reason that we are looking at these perspectives of leadership is because how we think about leadership, how we understand leadership, is actually how we practice it.
Yes.
So you just need to look at a person and see how they are conducting themselves as leaders, and it will give you an idea of what that person thinks leadership is. So you are given a position of responsibility. You are given, you know, you have been an ordinary member of a team.
Yes.
And then something happens, whether by promotion or by appointment or whatever it is, you are now the leader of your team.
Oh.
Or you are the leader of your organization, or you are the leader of your community, or the leader of your family. You know, you have been somewhere there in the family, but the person who has been leading the family is gone.
Yes.
And suddenly you find yourself as now the one leading the family.
Mm-hmm.
How you conduct yourself, begin to conduct yourself in those spaces, has a lot to do with your understanding or your perspective of leadership.
Okay.
And so that's why we tried to just look at some of these perspectives of leadership, especially those that have been dealt with from a scholarly approach. So they are scholars who have given themselves to study leadership and to find out how do people view leadership and how does that affect leadership practice.
Okay.
So among the newest or latest in terms of scholarship is what we call authentic leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Authentic leadership is hardly 20 years old. That's, you know, some of these are centuries old.
Yes.
So when we say recent or young, 20 years is very young because this authentic leadership was conceptualized by scholars Avolio and Gardner back in 2005. So it's actually exactly 20 years. And this came out of the disturbing reality or observation that many leaders has this disturbing dichotomy between what they say and what they do. When you look at the life of an individual, you find that what they profess and demand of the people that they lead or their team members is quite different from what they actually do themselves. And so they can talk about, say, integrity, for example. But they themselves do not practice that integrity. And they can actually demand very seriously of their members that you must be people of integrity. But when you go behind, you find that, hey,
they are not practicing.
Our leader is not a man of integrity. So the concern, therefore, was, what is behind all this,
mm-hmm.
and how can it be addressed?
Okay.
Avolio and others in their study and doing research came up with this idea of authentic leadership. So this authentic leadership really mm-hmm. has to do with leadership genuineness,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you are genuine. What people say, you are true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not what you tell us mm-hmm. or how you conduct yourself before us,
mm-hmm.
but when you are alone, can you say, I am being real,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yes.
In what I say, in what I do. That is what called authentic leadership. So it is a self-evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
Is looking at yourself and judging yourself before people judge you.
Mm-hmm.
Because how you present yourself to us,
mm-hmm.
we may judge you in a particular way. And if you are a very good actor, we can even think that you are a great person,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of the way you present yourself, the way you do things, we can be deceived to imagine that you are a very great person.
Yeah.
But you see, you can't deceive yourself.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm.
You know who you are.
Very
you know
true.
When you are pretending. Mm-hmm. You know when you are lying. You know when you are speaking the truth and all those things. So authentic leadership comes from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
That leaders need to look from within
mm-hmm.
and be real with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that then what you project out there is the real you.
Can I ask a question?
Please go ahead.
As you're
That's
speaking,
why we are here.
I'm thinking of Daniel.
Yes.
Because when you look at Daniel, he was himself. And it's, people knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And even when certain things were put in place so that he would conform to a particular way, he still went ahead to pray. You remember the mm-hmm. way he would
yes.
pray? Yeah.
Yes.
If it was a lot of us, if such a rule is put, you will pray in a secluded and tell God, you know, you understand
yes.
what is going to happen. Can we then say a good example is someone like Daniel?
Yes, Daniel was a very authentic person
mm-hmm.
Because he did not pretend. He
yes.
was who he was and mm-hmm. he upheld his values.
Mm.
Part of authentic leadership is values.
Wow.
Morality,
mm-hmm.
integrity, that you uphold the values that you believe in.
Yes.
And they drive your conduct in every situation.
Mm-hmm.
And who is a better example than Daniel and his friends, Shadrach,
yes,
Meshach, and Abednego,
mm-hmm.
who they were real to themselves and not in an obnoxious way.
Yes.
Because sometimes some of us are in the effort of being true to ourselves,
mm-hmm.
then we become, you know, a disturbance to society. You
okay.
know, you see, the way Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel
mm-hmm.
conducted themselves in that environment where they find themselves as captives in a foreign land,
mm-hmm.
If we use today's language, they were not in a Christian nation.
Yes.
They were not in a Christian environment.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they still want to practice their faith and mm-hmm. want to remain true to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us can be very, I'm trying to avoid the word obnoxious, you know.
Extravagant.
Not extravagant.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to put it in a negative way.
Oh, okay.
Where you are insisting on you believe in,
mm-hmm.
but is it in a way that is irritating even to the people around you?
Oh.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't do that. I don't eat that. And I don't do this. And it is in a way to show I am better than you or I am, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it sometimes it comes out in a very negative way
mm-hmm.
and people are repulsed
yes.
by that which you stand for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you look at Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego and Daniel, the four of them,
mm-hmm.
How they approach the practice of their faith in this non-Christian environment
yes.
is in a very wise manner. that they still want to be part of what is going on, and they want to be part of society and be part of the organization, but retain and maintain their values. So, for example, when this food is brought, and the king has ordered that this is the food they are to eat, so that they gain whatever it is that he wanted them to gain, they don't say, no, us, we don't eat that kind of food. This is offered to idols and, you know.
Yeah.
They just say, no, we would prefer not to eat this food. And give us water and vegetables.
Yes.
And we'll be okay. And when the person in charge says, if the king finds out that this is what I'm doing, I will be in trouble. He said, no, you will not be in trouble. We'll look okay.
Yes.
Test us out for this period of time and see for yourself whether it works. You know, that's a very wise approach to handling that situation.
Very true.
And you find that is the life of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. To the extent that a person like Daniel, serving at a very high level in government, in a foreign government, served under four kings.
Yeah.
And he was never thrown out because he was respected for his authenticity. What we could say from that example is that when you are authentic, people respect you.
Wow.
Even if they don't agree
with you,
but they respect you. They know that Shiko does not go that direction.
Yes.
You know, this is something that Shiko will not tolerate or will not accept. So they give you your space.
Yes.
Because you are authentic. But if they find you are just pretending, one day you are saying this.
The next day you're
the next you are saying that. You know me, I don't drink wine. Then another time you say, let me test a little. Then we don't know where to place you.
Yes.
We don't know how to handle you. So that is what authenticity is all about.
That's very enlightening. I'm just looking at that and thinking, you know, the scripture in Psalm 139, it says, search me, O God, see if there's anything wicked in me, and lead me to your way everlasting.
Exactly.
I think for all of us, if we want to be authentic, that is a prayer we need to pray.
Very good prayer. I pray it all the time. I pray it all the time because I don't know. You know, sometimes you can be thinking you're doing a good thing.
Yes.
When actually you are doing the wrong thing. And actually, that's what we were talking about this morning when we were talking about this lateness thing.
Yes.
With Samuel. And we are saying if the two of them were authentic leaders, first, Saul should have known that as a king, he cannot offer sacrifice.
Yes.
That belonged to the priest.
To the priest, yes.
So, in spite of what the circumstance that he was facing, he should have recognized that this is not my area and find another way to deal with that situation.
Yes.
In fact, for me, I was saying he could have prayed. Prayer is for everybody.
Yes.
And just ask God now, here we are. These enemies are pressing in on us. Samuel has not arrived, but you are here.
Yes.
You know, help us to handle deal with this situation. I imagine that that's what David
would have done
to pray and deal with that situation. Nobody would have rebuked him for praying.
No.
But he knew. But he went ahead and offered the sacrifice. But even after that, because in a sense, he did what he thought was right in that situation. When Samuel now comes and confronts him with that situation, an authentic leader should actually go ahead and say, oh, I'm sorry.
Very sorry.
The army was pressing in on us. And I think in that moment of trying to deal with that situation, I offered this sacrifice. And I'm very sorry about it. That is authenticity.
Yes.
Acknowledging your mistakes. And I believe God would have forgiven him.
Mm-hmm.
Because we see David earlier on.
Yes.
Later on, because mm-hmm. David was after Saul.
After Saul, yeah.
Yes. When he commits adultery, kills someone, and he's confronted with his sin, just like Saul was confronted, the first thing he does is to repent
mm.
and ask God for forgiveness. And so he remains a man after God's own heart,
yeah.
even in having done that terrible thing compared mm-hmm. to what Saul did, you know?
And then shortly after, afterwards, he stole the kingdom, is torn away from you.
He has been taken away.
Yes.
In fact, you are saying this judgment was so harsh
mm.
From Samuel. But then when you look at Samuel on the other side,
mm-hmm.
he was also not an authentic leader.
Mm.
Because as an authentic leader, the first thing he should have said...
I'm sorry for being late.
Yeah. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry for being late, and mm-hmm. still rebuke him, mm-hmm. rebuke Saul for doing what he did,
mm.
But acknowledging that I contributed,
yes,
to your situation, and I'm sorry for being late, but what you have done
is not right. Yes,
it's not right. As you know,
mm-hmm.
as a king, you're not supposed to offer sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
and this is not right. I don't know that he would still have gone ahead to pronounce such a harsh judgment upon Saul,
yeah.
if he was a truly authentic leader
mm-hmm.
who accepts that he made a mistake.
Yeah.
He does not say anything about his lateness.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was saying, I find it so harsh because he said, you have done a foolish thing.
Oh, yeah. He should have used another word, possibly, yeah.
Or being a little more gentle and kind. This mm-hmm. guy has done a wrong thing, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But say, I'm sorry, you know, for being late. I was caught up, like I was caught up discussing this while you're waiting.
Yes.
Yes.
There are many times mm-hmm. when leaders may not be very authentic. Maybe because someone is feeling, I cannot apologize to someone who is my junior. Case in point, like for example, a parent. When God tells you have done something bad to your child, I think it takes so much courage to tell your child, I'm very sorry, I was on the wrong. But that's what you're saying. We should be authentic enough to acknowledge.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly. So the our natural human sense and feeling
mm-hmm.
is that if I apologize to a junior
mm-hmm.
or acknowledge my wrong to a junior person, I will look small, weak.
I will lose face.
I will lose face.
Yeah.
To the contrary, it mm-hmm. works in the opposite. And
mm-hmm.
I personally have experienced this many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
When you accept and acknowledge that you have done wrong
mm-hmm.
to people who look up to you,
yes,
it doesn't lower their esteem of you.
Mm-hmm.
It actually increases it. And it gives them the idea that if my leader can apologize and mm-hmm. can acknowledge mistakes,
mm-hmm.
then who am I?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So when should I find myself in a mistake or a problem, I can also say so. You mm. know, I'm sorry, this is what happened, and explain myself.
Yes.
Because I know that even the leader is not perfect.
No,
and none of us is.
Yes.
Yeah, so it actually builds
mm-hmm.
That idea of teamwork. And the studies that have been done have mm-hmm. actually shown that. It creates greater commitment
mm-hmm.
in your team members. They hold you in higher esteem.
Yes.
Because you are real.
Mm-hmm.
So when you tell them anything,
mm-hmm.
even things that they want to doubt,
yes,
whether you are serious,
mm-hmm.
but they remember that you normally say the truth.
Yes.
So even in this case, you must be telling us
the truth.
Mm-hmm. So that's what it does. So they have more trust
mm-hmm.
In you. They hold you in greater esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Your believability goes higher.
Mm-hmm.
And so you find it much easier to deal with your team members.
Allow me to ask another question. I'm thinking of Eli.
Yes.
Of course, when we think about him, we see a lot of things he could have done different. But what bothers me most is when God speaks to Samuel about what he will do to his house. And then he says he is God. Yeah.
Let him do.
So I think God has already told him certain things, like your sons are not.
Yes.
Yes. So can you possibly help us understand maybe what he would have done different?
Well, one of the things, I know I've read that text, and I was reading it not too long ago, actually.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I was reading it not too long ago because it is still in the book of Samuel.
Yes.
And one of the things that we don't know is the tone of his voice.
Oh, yeah. Because it could have been, well, let him do what he wants.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We don't have the benefit of the tone of his voice. So
yes.
We have what is written when he says, let him do, you know, he is God.
Mm-hmm.
So was he throwing up his hands and saying, let God do what he wants to do? Was he humbly saying, you know, it is him, it is God. Let him do, what can I do if he has said it?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot there that we don't know.
Yes.
But again, just like Saul, and not just in this particular incident, but in other incidents that we see later.
Yes.
There didn't seem to be any effort on Eli's side to plead with God, you know, to...
Especially as a priest.
Yes.
Yeah.
He didn't seem to plead with God on behalf of his children, on his own behalf, and just repent, you know, for his children. You know, a person like Job, the Bible says every morning and every evening, he offered a sacrifice on behalf of his children, just in case any of them had sinned against God.
The Lord, yeah.
That's how righteous
Job was
wanting not to have anything within his household that would anger God or that would cause God to bring judgment upon them. So every morning, every evening, Job would go to God and say, Lord, if there is anything that I have done, if there's anything that my children and my household has done, I pray for your forgiveness. And here is my sacrifice for that. And so no wonder God says there's no other person like him, you know, at the time,
him.
You know.
Yeah.
So Eli does not seem to say, I'm, if that's what God is saying, I'm so sorry for my children. Please have mercy on us. And you know, talking about Daniel, you have read Daniel's prayer in chapter 9.
Yes.
Of the book
his
of Daniel.
Repentance, yeah.
The first time I read that text of scripture, I actually cried tears.
You felt the emotions.
I felt the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I felt a person who he himself is doing the right thing, living a righteous life. But when he realized the kind of things that his people as a nation had done and the judgment that was coming upon them, he just went before God and cried and cried and included himself there and said, we have done this. Forgive us, you know.
Yes.
And he prayed. Imagine if Eli had prayed that kind of a prayer.
He would have saved possibly his sons
and
himself
too. And himself too.
And Israel.
And Israel as
well. It would not have lost that battle.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where I would say, maybe Eli just said, now what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
God has pronounced his judgment. Yeah, let him do as he please.
Mm-hmm.
You think of Nineveh. They were not even God's people.
But they repent. Even Ahab,
Yeah.
Ahab, he so repented, and he was a very wicked king.
A very wicked king.
And God said, he has repented.
So God is so gracious because if you take the case of Nineveh, Jonah was sent there to pronounce, and it was very clear, 40 days. It was not like he was even giving them a chance to repent. It was just to pronounce judgment, like the one that Samuel came to pronounce.
Yes.
But even with that pronouncing that 40 days Nineveh is done, the king pronounces a fast across the nation and say, even chicken are not going to eat.
Wow.
And God relents. Of course, Jonah is very disappointed.
Yes.
But it shows us the grace and mercy of God. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter how terrible we might be. But when we come to God in true repentance, he will relent.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Asante sana for keeping it right here where you listen and leave. My name is Shiko, and this is Praise Junction. Of course, this is also a program that we look forward to, a leadership forum with Dr. David Oginde. I'm going to give him an opportunity before we get back to the topic. I looked for that scripture. But allow me to just read it, then possibly you can help us understand what scripture says here. It's in Jeremiah 50 and 24. It says, I set a trap for you, Babylon, and you were caught before you knew it. Yes. Please help us understand. You know, sometimes we read scripture, we may not have an understanding of what it says.
So it is in that context you are saying that God's can set up a trap for us.
Yes, yes.
Now, this trap is set for Babylon.
Okay.
Not for Israel.
Mm.
Babylon is an enemy of God.
Yes.
And therefore, God can set traps for his enemies. But I don't find anywhere in Scripture where God sets a trap for his children. When God sees us going astray, or headed towards the wrong direction, what we see in Scripture is God brings a warning. He sends a prophet to come and speak to you. In our time, he sends his Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit quickens your spirit to know that what I'm about to do is not right. So by the time you do it, you cannot plead ignorance.
Yes.
You already know. So when judgment now comes upon you because of what you have done, it is because you did it out of disobedience. So God does not set up a trap for us as his children.
Yes.
In fact, James says, when you are tempted, do not say that God is tempting me or has tempted me.
Yes.
Because God does not tempt. That's what he says in the book of James.
Yes.
So God cannot tempt us, test us, worst of all, trap us, you know, as his children. The way I look at it, Shiko, is I, in my relationship with God, I have learned a lot of lessons in my relationship with our children. As a parent, I cannot set a trap for my children to fail. No matter how bad they are doing, you know.
Even if they are thieves, you're still praying.
You are
that they
praying
will come
for them
back.
That they'll come back. And even if they are out there, they have rebelled against you. You cannot be wishing that they die, you know, because they ran away from home. So that is the nature of parents. And you find that a parent has that love for their children, no matter how terrible they are.
Yes.
He still has. And Jesus would ask, if you who are wicked know how to do such things for your children.
Yes.
What about your Heavenly Father?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't see a situation where God, as our Heavenly Father,
mm-hmm.
with all the love and mercy and grace that He has given to us,
mm-hmm.
can set a trap for us to fail.
Yes.
Or to get into sin.
Mm-hmm.
He will warn us. He will make sure we know that it is not right. He will send somebody to tell you, "Hey, Shiko,
mm-hmm.
are you sure about this?" You know?
Yes.
It is up to you to now make the choice.
Decision,
you
yeah.
know?
Mm.
Having heard all these voices, you decide, "No, me, I'm going this way. This mm-hmm. is what I've decided this way." And God will leave you to that so mm-hmm. that you go. But even then, He will keep warning you. He will keep coming to you. That is what I find in Scripture. God always warning His people.
Mm.
God always alerting them to wickedness. Even Israel, they rebel against Him. They go worship idols. And God sends a prophet and
yes.
says, "Hey, my people, you have left me. You have mm-hmm. gone for idols," and
yes.
so on and so forth. So by the time He takes them to Babylon, or mm-hmm. the time He sends them on exile, or He brings their enemies against them, they have no excuse.
Oh, yeah.
They have no excuse.
It's the same case with David. You said he had done, of course, Scripture says he had done something bad. Of course, he took Uriah's wife, killed him.
Yes.
But God sent Prophet Nathan.
God did not strike him dead.
Yeah.
God sent Prophet Nathan
mm-hmm.
just by chance that he may repent.
Wow.
You know?
Mm.
So, indeed, for David, because I believe that's why he was called a man after God's own heart. When he heard this,
mm-hmm.
he did not rebuke Nathan
mm-hmm.
or complain or excuse himself.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, in his prayer, he said, "I have sinned, only I."
Mm-hmm.
He does not even put Bathsheba there. He said, "I'm the one who has sinned. You know,
mm-hmm.
this is my own sin."
Mm-hmm.
And he comes before God and God says, ask God to just cleanse him, wash him, clean me, give me a new heart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Peter the same.
Yeah.
When Peter went out after betraying Jesus and he had the cock crow 3 times, he goes out and cries before God
mm.
and asks for forgiveness. Jesus appears to him and even gives him breakfast.
That's
how gracious
our God is.
Mm-hmm. So the concept that God can set a trap for me
mm-hmm.
so that I fall into it and then He judges me on the same.
Mm-hmm.
It
can only work for the world.
For the world, yes.
Yes.
Because they are wicked. They have mm-hmm. already turned their hearts. They have hardened their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
But even the world,
He has sent us
as watchmen
mm-hmm.
to go and warn them.
Yes.
So Jonah is sent to Nineveh.
Mm-hmm.
Nineveh was not God's people.
Yes.
Actually, the enemies of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And He has already made judgment.
Yes.
And He says, "In 40 days, I'm destroying Nineveh."
Yes.
They were not even given opportunity to repent.
Mm-hmm.
He was not like, "Unless you repent, I'm going to destroy."
Mm-hmm.
No, He was just saying, 40 days, you are gone.
Wow.
But when the king heard it,
mm-hmm.
he called on his people. They prayed, they fasted.
Yes.
And God relented
mm.
and withdrew the judgment. Of course, it is what angered Jonah.
Yeah.
Because he just said, "This is what I knew. I knew
you're
a compassionate God."
Mm.
So, in brief, I would say,
mm-hmm.
God does not tempt us.
Yes.
Worst of all, God cannot
set
trick
a
us.
Trap.
He can mm-hmm. set a trap for us. And then when now you fall into it, "I caught you."
Very true.
"I got you, Shiko." No. When
like
he sees a trap there, he comes and tells
you,
"Don't go that direction.
Mm-hmm.
There's trouble there."
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Bishop. I've learned something new today.
Thank you.
Now, we shift gears. We are looking at authentic leadership.
Yes.
You have already told us that this is the kind of leadership where you don't have two sides. The person in private and the person in public is one and the same.
One and the same person.
Yes.
Authentic leadership perspective has 4 components, according to the researchers who did this study.
Yes.
One of them is self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
authentic leadership is born out of a personal understanding of who you are,
mm-hmm.
a personal understanding of who I am.
Yes.
I will only be authentic and real with myself when I know myself. So I know my strengths,
mm-hmm.
I know my weaknesses, I know my likes and dislikes and all those things that make me me.
Yes.
Then I am real with myself that I know.
Mm-hmm.
So if I know that this is an area of weakness,
mm-hmm.
then I, to remain an authentic person, I need to do something about that area
of weakness.
Mm-hmm. So that I don't walk into traps. Did you talk about traps? Which not are not set by God, but by sometimes by the devil
mm-hmm.
or sometimes by just circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, for example, I am short-tempered.
Mm-hmm.
Then I don't walk into situations where there is heated argument.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know?
Yes, yes.
Because I just know that when I get here,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to blow my top and I may do something terrible.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I walk away from that situation,
mm-hmm.
that kind of a situation. If I find that I'm about to get into an argument with my wife,
mm-hmm.
and I know I'm a high-tempered person, I can walk away from that situation and say, let's talk about this later.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I manage myself,
mm-hmm.
because I am being real to mm-hmm. myself. But I can't just say, may I tell it as it is. You know, there are people who say that.
Yes, yes.
And then in your telling as it is, you get yourself and others into trouble. So authenticity is that knowledge of self,
mm-hmm.
Self-awareness, and therefore knowing what to do, what not to do,
mm-hmm.
how to conduct yourself in any given situation.
Yes.
And in team leadership, for example, if mm-hmm. I know that I am weak in a particular area, then I can get somebody else
mm-hmm.
who is stronger in that particular area to be part of my team.
Yes.
You see, what it does is that I then, if I know that I am weak in this particular area,
mm-hmm.
I don't fight with people who are strong in that area, because mm-hmm. that is our natural self.
Mm-hmm.
When you see people fighting with their team members or
yes.
with their colleagues,
mm-hmm.
sometimes they are fighting
mm-hmm.
that which they lack in themselves.
Oh.
Because if I see you are very eloquent,
mm-hmm.
and for me, I am not eloquent.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then I fight your eloquence. Because I have tried to be that eloquent, but I'm not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I see you talking so clearly, so eloquently, I feel pricked.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I myself talk like this? So now I begin to attack you. Oh, you people, you think you think you are so eloquent, you can't hit me or not. I'm actually projecting my weakness.
On someone else.
Ooh. And fighting that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm self-aware,
mm-hmm.
I know that I'm not a good speaker,
mm-hmm.
not eloquent, like Moses said.
Yes.
Then I appreciate
your
strength, your eloquence.
Strength, yes.
So if we are going for a situation where
mm-hmm.
we need somebody
to
present
mm-hmm.
our proposal in a very convincing manner.
Yes.
Then I carry Shiko. And so I will introduce the subject
mm-hmm.
and explain the thing. And then I say, my colleague Shiko
mm-hmm.
will take us through this.
Wow.
I'm still the leader.
Yes, you are.
Mm. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Then Shiko will come with all her eloquence and her convincing voice and all that.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we leave there, we have that deal.
Oh, because I embraced her strength.
Yeah, he embraced your strength.
Oh, okay.
I embraced your strength
mm-hmm.
and appreciated that this is something that you have that I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
But because we are in a team,
mm-hmm.
I make use of what you have.
Yes.
In order for us, because we have a common goal.
Very true.
We have a common purpose.
Yes.
So why are we fighting? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that is what self-awareness
mm-hmm.
does. But that self-awareness is what now brings authenticity.
Okay.
So I can even tell you, Chico, you know, I'm not very good at making presentations, you know?
Yes.
And we are going to do a pitch for this big project. I want you to come with me and help us in making this presentation. I'll do the introduction, I'll do the overview of what this is all about, and then I'll give you opportunity to make our presentation. Because you have that gift. You see, that's being authentic, that's being real. And it empowers your people. It allows them to grow. Of course, they also already know that you recognize their gifts. You recognize what they are able to do. And you can see how it will grow their trust in you as a leader, how it will grow their commitment to the team and to the organization. Because of that. But if I see you as a threat, you know, so I will go there on my own and I will stammer through the whole thing. People can't tell left from right. They are wondering, what are you actually saying? You know, and I come out of there and I don't get that job. And we both lose.
The organization loses.
The organization loses. All because I didn't want Chico to outshine me. And I am the leader.
Wow. May God help us to be self-aware.
To be authentic.
To be authentic.
You can be self-aware, but not authentic. So I am aware of my weakness.
Weakness.
But I hide it.
Oh.
Yeah. So the authenticity moves beyond self-awareness. But self-awareness is a basis or a foundation for the authenticity.
Wow.
Yes.
So that also means, I like your example, because it means for people who are not very good in numbers, you can have your numbers person.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, if you're not good in numbers, when we go to the presentation, I don't have to say, you know, me, I'm not a good speaker, so I brought Chico here to speak on our behalf. No. That, again, is not authenticity in the sense... there's something that we will call relational the balance. So even in that authenticity, you have to have a balance in the sense that, but it's called balance processing. You have to know what to say, what to do, where and when. Because if you overexpose yourself, it could also undermine.
Work against you.
It can work against you. So if I go to this meeting and say, me, I'm authentic, I'm real, what you see is what you get, I am not a good speaker. that's why I came with Chico here, and, and he's going to... Then people begin to look like, but you are the leader, and how can you not be able to speak? So you leave people with question marks in their mind. So balance processing means that you are able to look at a situation and see what is the best thing to do
in that
in this situation. Yes.
Wow.
So that then has the other side of it, of this authenticity.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So the second is relational transparency. Relational transparency, I have already alluded to it.
Yes.
Is the fact that as a leader, an authentic leader, in our relationships with my team members, with my colleagues, I am vulnerable. I can be vulnerable. I can share personal issues, personal struggles, so that people get to know me in who I am.
Yes.
You know? So that transparency is what will help people to appreciate who I am, and therefore I'm willing to open up and share some of my strengths, usually not difficult to share, But some of the weaknesses, some of the struggles that I have in my own life, some of the experiences that mm-hmm. I'm going through, and you share them again, as we said, in a manner that is helping the people to understand who you are
mm-hmm.
without undermining who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That is what it is all about. So you build trust, credibility among your followers by sharing
mm-hmm.
the real you.
Wow.
So people may be looking at me and say, wow, you are such a person, you have done this, you have done that, you're a great man. But you can share with them. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes people even get paralyzed when they look at the leader and the mm-hmm. things that you are able to do and the things you have done and the places you have gone.
Mm-hmm.
And they just get paralyzed. For me, I know that I will ever get to this or
yeah.
I can ever become this kind of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a great opportunity to be vulnerable. And to say, by the way,
mm-hmm.
I was not born like this.
Yes.
You know, I have a journey behind me.
Mm.
I this is where I came from. This is what I experienced. These are the mistakes I've made in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I've learned out of them. So when you see me where I am today,
mm-hmm.
it is a work in progress, you know.
Oh, yeah. And now that helped them connect to the leader.
Exactly. To know that, oh, mm-hmm. even me, then I can...
Yes.
Eventually get there.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You are not born perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just feel, for me, even my background, where I came from, how mm-hmm. I performed in school, mm-hmm. how life has taken me, I can never get where my leader is.
Mm-hmm.
But when now they hear your story, they get encouraged that actually this is possible.
It's possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So relational transparency is that being open and vulnerable with your team members,
mm-hmm.
Letting them know who you, the real you is.
Yes.
And how that has contributed
mm-hmm.
to your journey of leadership and where you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's called relational transparency.
Relational transparency. Wow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then the third one
mm-hmm.
is balance processing, which I talked about. Balanced processing.
Okay.
Yes. This is analyzing information
mm-hmm.
before you share it, before you make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Reflecting over what you're about to do, what you're about to say,
mm-hmm.
Considering what possible impact it might have,
mm-hmm.
listening to other people's views and opinions,
mm-hmm.
and putting it all together,
yes,
and balancing it all together before you either speak or take action or make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps, because by being self-aware,
mm-hmm.
We could be dealing with a situation that is in my area of strength,
mm-hmm.
you know. So the challenge with dealing with situations that are in my area of strength as a leader
mm-hmm.
is that I can become very opinionated, you know.
Yes.
This is something I know.
Mm-hmm.
So I will not even give you a chance
mm-hmm.
to make a contribution.
Ooh.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Because what possibly can you tell me?
Oh, but you can even learn from a two-year-old.
You can, yeah, that's now where authenticity comes in.
Yes.
Yes. So that idea that I can learn from a two-year-old and give the two-year-old a chance to also say something
mm-hmm.
is what we call balance processing.
Wow.
So that balance processing is give people opportunity
mm.
to make a contribution
mm-hmm.
To whatever idea it is or decision that need to be made, and process it before you make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
So that is now at perhaps a decision-making level. But as I said earlier, balance processing also, what we the adage, think before you leap,
mm-hmm.
you know? I don't know whether you have had think before you leap. before you say or you before you act,
mm-hmm.
process it in your mind. What impact is this likely to have?
Oh.
What are the possible consequences? So you can be real and you can be true,
mm-hmm.
and even the facts that you have may be correct.
Yeah.
But the impact of them being shared or being acted on mm-hmm. can be negative. So don't just say, mm-hmm. this is the truth. I'm a truthful man.
No.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah. Not all truths are worth sharing. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Not all truths are worth sharing.
Mm-hmm.
So an authentic leader is a person who is able to process the truth,
mm-hmm.
the facts, the figures, and consider what is the possible consequence of my action on this matter.
Mm-hmm.
What is the possible consequence of what I say? It may be the truth,
mm-hmm.
but it can have a negative
connotation.
Not just connotation, even impact.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I can see something that causes people to fight. Mm. You know? I process that and filter it
mm-hmm.
so that I know what to say in that situation
mm-hmm.
that would add value mm-hmm. rather than subtract.
Wow.
That's what is called balance processing.
So as a leader, you're looking for something. If you're going to say something, will it build up or tear down?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Will it build up or tear down? That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
There you are. So don't just say because it is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people who say, you ask them, how could you say such a thing?
Mm-hmm.
And say, but it is the truth.
Oh.
Yes, it is the truth, but was it worth saying?
Mm-hmm.
Was it worth doing? Did you think about the consequences? Did you consider how it is going to impact others?
Mm-hmm.
It is the truth. Nobody denies that. But did you process it in your mind?
Like how it would feel if somebody said that to you.
To you.
Mm.
You know?
Yes.
So that is what authenticity is. It is part of emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Because emotional intelligence also has these similar factors,
yes.
where I am able to consider
mm-hmm.
what will be the impact of my words, of my actions, on the emotions of other people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's called intelligence, because mm-hmm. you have thought through,
yes.
About managing your own emotions, but mm-hmm. also about managing the emotions of other people.
Mm-hmm.
So a person who is emotionally intelligent is able to manage their own emotions, but they're also able to manage the emotions of other people.
We do that as parents.
You are supposed to.
Yeah. I find it very, when you're speaking, I'm seeing a lot of parents doing that. They're saying, this is too much information for my child.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you don't just say things in the mm-hmm. presence of your children. There are things mm-hmm. that are beyond them.
Yes.
And so you weigh and say, hey, so-and-so, mm-hmm. just give us a moment
mm-hmm.
With your dad. We need to
consider
something. Or...
Mm-hmm.
You go to your bedroom
mm.
and discuss this matter,
yes.
because you feel that this may impact the child
mm-hmm.
negatively.
Yes.
So you are conscious. It mm. is the truth,
mm-hmm.
but it will impact your child negatively. So you want to tell off your husband for whatever they did, you know.
You remember there is someone here.
Yes.
Who shouldn't hear
this rebuke.
Yes.
Yeah, because when you do that in their presence, then mm-hmm. you demean their father
mm.
in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the truth, yes. But you don't say it in the presence of a child.
Yes.
Or of another person. Go to private, talk with them and say, I was not very happy with what you did.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
And discuss it. So that is balanced processing. So it encourages that wisdom inclusivity, mm-hmm. reflection, mm-hmm. In decision making and yes. any actions that are taken. So that is balanced processing. The fourth one, as yes. I said, there are four of them.
Yes.
Is internalized moral perspective.
Internalized moral perspective. Okay.
Tough mm-hmm. concepts.
Yes.
But they are simple, mm-hmm. If you think
when
about
when you explain it.
Yes, yeah. yes. This is the capacity of an individual mm-hmm. to uphold moral standards mm-hmm. and values rather than to give in to external pressures. Mm. So this is what, in simple terms, we can say living by principle or on principle.
Oh, authentic leadership. Those people, they live by principle.
Exactly.
They are not peer influenced.
No. They don't go by the flow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They are not crowd followers.
Wow.
They have... that's where part of the self-awareness. You know yourself. You mm-hmm. know what you believe in. And we gave the example of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So they live by principle. Mm-hmm. It's not that now we are in Babylon. This is the food that the king has offered. Who are we to refuse?
Wow.
You know?
Yes.
That's how many of us would argue. What did you yes. expect me to do?
Yes.
This is the food that is being offered at the king's table. Mm-hmm. And we are required as
to
students
eat. Yes.
to eat this food.
Yes.
So what did you want me to do? Even God understands.
God can see we have tried over there.
You know.
Yes.
But the moral principle that they had been brought up with mm-hmm. Told them that you don't eat food offered to idols.
Idols, yeah.
And so that is what now drove and guided their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So they find ways of surviving in that situation mm-hmm. without compromising their values.
Wow.
That's living by principle.
Mm-hmm.
So a person who is authentic, mm-hmm. you may find yourself in a very compromising situation.
Yes.
You may find yourself in a place where circumstances demand mm-hmm. that you compromise your values.
Mm-hmm.
But being real and true to yourself,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to let yourself down.
Mm.
Let alone, for us Christians, of course, we say you don't want to let God down.
God down, yes.
But the principle is I don't want to let myself down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do something that I will regret.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you do something and you leave God out of it first.
Mm-hmm.
Just you yourself, you just go back and say, why did I do that? This.
How could I say that? Yeah.
You know, and you mm-hmm. feel so bad.
Yes.
You know,
mm.
that you said what you said or you did what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people don't even know that what you did or said was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But you yourself from within, because you know yourself and you
yes.
know the principles by which you live,
mm-hmm.
you just feel like, oh no, how could I do that? How could I say that?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that has happened to me even as a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the excitement of the moment, you say something as a preacher from the pulpit and people mm-hmm. laugh and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But something just, Lord, why did I say that?
Mm-hmm.
And even now at the end of the service, people are saying, wow, that was a powerful sermon. I'm just feeling I just want to go and hide somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anybody to know that I said that. Sometimes I wish it is not even broadcast, you know?
Yes.
Because my inner person tells me that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Either the way you said it or what you said and so on. It just tells you that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. So an authentic leader has that inner voice that tells you
mm-hmm.
what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do. And you listen to that voice.
Mm-hmm.
That is what we call internalized moral perspective. Mm-hmm. It is not somebody telling you you did wrong.
Yeah,
it is not somebody else telling you that you should not do that or mm-hmm. you should not say that. Mm-hmm. But your own principles, your own values guide and guard mm-hmm. what you say or what you do.
Wow. Asante sana, Bishop. I like that. When you say that, of course, you mentioned it's not even about God, you know.
Yes, it's me.
Who you are.
You feel.
I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
And I think that takes us back to, even without talking about leadership, as individuals,
yes,
some of the things that we say. As Christians, we are praying about a lot of things. What do we say after? Mm-hmm. You know, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, today you have decided.
What have I decided, my sister?
You have decided. You are driving points and telling us that we really need to watch what we say. We need to watch to handle situations so that we are not misrepresenting the principles that are God has taken a long time to instill in us.
Mm. Yeah. So that is now because we are in a faith environment.
Yes.
But these principles that we have talked about applies whether you're a Christian or not.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why we are saying, like, for example, the last one that you are talking about, internalized moral perspective.
Yes.
There are things you know are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm. Whether you're a Christian
or not. Oh, like, for example, we know corruption is
wrong. It is wrong.
Yeah.
So when you engage in it mm-hmm. as an authentic person, if you even did it without, you know, thinking twice and oh, the pressure was so much, something in you just tells you, why did I do that? Why did I have to do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is not just God, because God has put in us what is called conscience.
Yes.
And our conscience mm-hmm. constantly reminds us of what is right
or wrong. Yes.
In fact, Paul says, mm-hmm. Because some people say, if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, mm-hmm. and no one goes to the Father except through him, and in the book of Acts, it says the salvation in no other person
mm-hmm.
except in Jesus Christ. So people ask, what about those people who have never heard about Jesus?
Yeah.
And Paul says they'll be judged by their conscience. Because the Lord, God, has written his law
in our hearts. Mm.
So he gives you an opportunity, even if you don't know him,
mm-hmm.
He gives you an opportunity to choose between right
mm-hmm.
and wrong. So you can never say, "Mi sikujua," mm-hmm. I didn't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, that's very powerful. That's very powerful. Asante sana. I can see quite a number of comments and contributions, Bishop. Allow me to just read out some messages here, see if we have a question, but first some messages. I think they're just reflections.
Hope FM on 93.3 in Limuru. Listen and live.
And I want you to...
Okay. One moment.
Question of the day on the Leadership Forum.
Yes, and I can see quite a number of your comments and your contributions. I see Duncan all the way from Kisumu City saying, I'm tuned in and listening. I thank Bishop and for the teaching. Asante. Someone else saying, Bishop Emeritus, thank you for the leadership sessions. I have used them throughout my work life as a team leader. My organization has had a restructuring and I'm now at home since 30th of June. Please pray with me for a new job opening. This is one, Kathy. Someone else saying, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please let Bishop elaborate further on the below in the light of what you started trying to bring forward as you started. I think it's 1 Kings 22. Can I read it?
Yes.
Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. I think it's that...
a thing of God
setting
a trap.
Yes.
If you read the context of that story,
mm-hmm.
it's a situation, and this actually happens in many places.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are, if to use our topic for today, if you are an authentic leader, if you are real to yourself,
mm-hmm.
you will know
mm-hmm.
that this prophet is lying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you've been listening to the Lord.
Yes.
Yes.
So it is not God trapping you,
mm-hmm.
but it is God acting according to what you want, you know? So you find even prophets, I can't remember which which king this was,
mm-hmm.
But he wanted to go to war,
mm-hmm.
and is asking his prophets to mm-hmm. say whether he's going to win or not. And all the prophets came and said, yes, you're going to win, you're going to win, you're going to win, it is going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls, I think it was Micah or Micaiah,
mm-hmm.
and he tells his friend, you know, this guy never says anything good about me.
So he already knew.
He already knew.
Mm-hmm.
So when the prophet told him it is okay, you are going to win, he mm-hmm. said, no, you are lying. You mm-hmm. you know I'm not going to win.
Yes.
So he was being told what he wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But even him, he knew mm-hmm. that he was being, he was not being actually misled.
Yes.
He was being told what he wants to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And God can allow you.
Mm-hmm.
If he has called, he has tried to bring you back.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says the Spirit of God will not contend with a man forever.
Yeah.
So God keeps telling you this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong, and you keep going and you keep going. Finally, he lets you do what you want.
What you want, yeah. Yeah.
Mm. King Saul came in that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the children of Israel,
mm-hmm.
God is their king. And God has led them and battles and done things for them. But they want a king like other nations.
Mm.
So when they tell Samuel, give us a king,
mm-hmm.
Samuel is very angry. How can you even think of such a thing? What mm-hmm. does God say?
Mm-hmm.
God says, give them.
Give them.
Give them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is not you they have rejected.
It's
so
me.
In those kinds of situations, mm-hmm. yes, God can allow a lying spirit
mm-hmm.
to come to you. In fact, the Bible says, even in the case of Saul, when he was trying to fight David,
mm-hmm.
the Bible says an evil spirit came upon Saul.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm.
So he had already exposed and disposed himself
mm-hmm.
Towards evil.
Oh.
So then God says, ah, yeah.
Oh, it's the classic case of Romans chapter 1 where it says, therefore God gave them up.
Yes.
Okay.
God can give you up.
Oh, that's sad. May it never happen to anyone.
May not happen to me.
Amen. Someone else saying, oh yes, to be a successful leader, I have to be a truthful man, and a truthful mantra shouldn't be defined by our current politics process or and balance what I have to speak. I'm really excited by the program. This is my call. Quite a number. Someone else saying, good afternoon, David Ocheng here, taking notes and learning. Question, when leading committee meetings, particularly when decisions need to be made on key issues, should the leader first invite members to share their thoughts and opinion, or is it better for the leader to share their own first and then ask members to respond? Which approach fosters better decision making and leadership?
Very good question. A very good question, because that is falls within board operations and how to lead good meetings.
Mm-hmm.
It is always best to lead your members to speak first.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you have spoken as chair
yes.
of the committee,
mm-hmm.
people will be afraid, those people who had contrary
opinions,
mm-hmm. they will be afraid to express them.
Mm-hmm.
And contradict you as chair.
As yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So allow people to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that because of our human ego,
yes.
which I was talking about yesterday,
yes.
is that somebody will come up with the very idea that I had.
Yes.
before me. So now when it comes to my turn,
yes.
I'll just be saying like Chico said.
Yes, you know? Yes, yes.
So I'm like, I didn't have any idea about what is being said.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. I'm the leader.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say, actually, what Chico said,
mm-hmm.
is exactly what I also had. And then now I can elaborate it further.
Yes.
And then bring the matter to a conclusion as we make a decision. Mm-hmm. It is always best to allow your team members, your board members, your committee members to speak first.
Thank you, Bishop.
You might even learn something from them which you had not thought about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that you said you may, when you give your opinion first, you may intimidate people.
Yes.
Someone who had a very good idea may say...
Yeah, the chair has spoken. Now, yeah. What else can I say?
Yes.
And they have a contrary view, mm-hmm. you know, which mm-hmm. actually is a good point. Mm-hmm. But now they're afraid to say because what do the chairman think that I'm contradicting him?
Well, Bishop, time is not on our side. I'm just going to ask you to pray.
Thank you.
For someone. There are a lot of questions about that testing thing. I think I should have not. But maybe a lot of people have learned like me. Kindly pray for someone.
Yes, yes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for giving us an opportunity this morning, afternoon, to consider the issues that we have talked about, things to do with leadership. And especially today, as we talk about authentic leadership, you have called us to be real, to be true to ourselves, and so that we are not hypocrites who say one thing and do another. I pray for all of us who are leaders in any sphere, in any space, that, Lord, you'd help us to be those kinds of leaders who are true, who are real, who are authentic. We also want to pray for those people who may be going through situations, circumstances, like this person who said they have just been retrenched from their job. Lord, I pray that you open a new door for them. And there are many, many others who have no jobs, who are looking for open doors. You said, behold, I lay before you an open door, because you are the one who holds the key to every door. And that which you shut, no one can open. That which you open, no one can shut. So have mercy on your people and help us as we face this new week to be tuned to you and to listen to you, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop.
Thank you.
We have learned a lot today.
Thank you.
May we be authentic leaders.
Amen.
Yes, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Leadership Forum. My name is Shiko. We have to say kwaheri. I can see Alice on the other side ready to tell us news in Swahili. And of course, kindly watch out for Man Karis coming up with Afternoon Switch. But for me in studio, until tomorrow, same time, 10 to 1, may God bless you. Have yourselves a wonderful afternoon.
Amen.
Amen.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.